fighting for America.
Mr. President, if you don't want to give terrorists a recruitment tool, instead of closing Guantanamo Bay, frankly, sir, you ought to close your mouth. They called us crusaders, and you've just confirmed it.
Fighting for Idaho.
The situation with the underpass that you're talking about, it's a microcosm of a larger issue, and because it's such a high profile, I think people focus on it a little more than the overall situation warrants.
Fighting for you.
Remember those creepy king ads they did?
The king.
The king.
They were so creepy,
they
though.
They were so creepy.
I thought they were good after a while, though. Here comes
really,
the king. He's going to get you.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And here we are. We're moving out. We're moving in. Oh, here we are. We're at it again. By the way, a lot of you have been very frustrated about Brian Williams from NBC, and you're thinking, well, there is not much what we can do here in Boise, Idaho, or the Treasure Valley, as I like to call it. You can sound off. You can go to our website, 580kido.com, and a lot of great opinion polls there. One saying, Brian Williams should be what? Should he be given an award? Should he be given the boot? Should he be shown the door? Should he be given some, I don't know, some type of reward, if you will? But you go to our website, 580kido.com, and we'll continue to update on that. Should he be fired, suspended, given a slap on the wrist, commended, or shown the door? I just voted now, and right now, fired leads the way, suspended, followed by Kay Milley saying he should be shown the door. Joining us now, and that's at 580kido.com. You can always follow me on Twitter, at Kevin Miller Show. Joining us now, our great friend from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance, the cover guy of the newspaper a couple days ago, Greg Pruitt. Good morning.
Morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm fine. Greg, how are you?
Well, I didn't really get much sleep last night, but I'm heading back down to the Capitol as we speak to go pound on some more doors and figure out what happened yesterday. So,
well, you're going to have to tell us, because a lot of people don't subscribe to your Facebook feed like good old Kay Milley. There I was perusing, looking at people that I used to know, and then I'm seeing Greg Pruitt opining about the Republicans not doing their job or something like that. We're going to have to get the reliable information from you.
Yeah, so I was down there yesterday drumming up co-sponsors for constitutional carry. And shoot, I think we had 9 or 10 up to the point. And I got a text from a legislator said the House leadership has shut down constitutional carry and they're not going to let it go to state affairs for a full hearing. And that kind of caught me off guard. because I did, you know, I just talked to the chairman probably 30 minutes before that. He seemed to think that it was going fine and that we would get a hearing soon after. And so I texted the legislator back and I said, well, you know, is there someone individually who made that decision? They said just House leadership. So, you know, Scott Betke, Mike Moyle, and Rick Crane are what is considered the House leadership. So those are the people I think we're going to have everyone start reaching out to and ask, you know, why can this not go forward? And we actually got citizens that got through to Betke. And of course, he's trying to blame our group, saying, oh, we're not playing the game the right way. And I said, well, I've waited 3 years. We went through the process. I got a sponsor. I got it into a print hearing. I'm pretty sure that's the procedure that you use to get a bill heard. I mean, it had the words. People got a full hearing. I don't understand why they're already shutting down constitutional carry. I think they're afraid of it, honestly.
Well, you know, Greg, that's the issue here. You and I have talked about it, and you've been talked to many times that you'd better be a good boy or else. And now all of a sudden, you know, you got a lot of attention, probably more than most people thought, with constitutional carry. And you're in the paper, you're on the radio, you're on TV. Everybody's talking about it. Then all of a sudden, you know, the rug is pulled out from under you.
Yeah, it was quite the turn of events. I was not happy yesterday, but fortunately I could track down Speaker Betke to talk to him about this issue and figure out what his deal is. You know, and you know, everybody keeps saying, well, you gotta get Senator Bart Davis to pass off on him, the Senate Majority Leader. Generally everybody says he's the one that killed all of them. And we've been trying to reach out to him because, I mean, his secretary says he's too busy, and so I said, well, we're going to press forward then and get constitutional carry through the House, and then we'll get into the Senate, and I'm sure we'll have plenty of time to discuss the issue with them then. But no, it got shut down, and we just, I guess, you know, we'll post the phone numbers of the House leadership and the chairman on the House side and just have everybody call and encourage them to reconsider and to do the right thing and let this bill be heard.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about this here at 580KIDO. For people that aren't familiar with your bill, what does it do?
It allows law-abiding citizens who aren't otherwise prohibited to carry their firearm concealed while within the state of Idaho without a permit. So you can open carry now without a permit. You can go outside city limits and, for the most part, carry without a permit as long as you're doing some sort of outdoor activity. Our bill would eliminate those. It eliminates all the other current exemptions and adds Idaho citizens to the list of people who carry their firearms concealed without a permit. That's what the Second Amendment was all about. That is your permit. And so that's all our bill did. You could still get both permits for reciprocity reasons or for carrying on college campus. It didn't change any of the college campus requirements. It's certainly something we would like to expand. But at this point, our bill did not touch the campus carry restrictions.
When we take a look at this here, the body politic, you've worked with these politicians, and you went through the process, and you bring up a good point. The Add the Words people had their hearing, and you wanted to see how far you could go and work within the system, and all of a sudden, just arbitrarily, without notice, it was already, your bill was pulled.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what, I guess, frustrating to talk to you guys. I say, look, we've been waiting around 3 years, and then the first thing every single one of them will tell you is, well, Add the Words, you know, it took them 9 years. I said, Add the Words is on the very opposite end of the political spectrum for what Idaho represents. I said, we're supposed to be on your side. You guys are supposed to be on our side. I said, you know, the legislature is 85 or 88% Republican, so it makes sense to Add the Words took that long to get there. I said, it should take a gun bill 3 years. It just should be cut dry for you guys. And you know, then the wheel starts spinning. Well, you know, we just got to work together and blah, blah, blah. Just I mean, excuses just start flowing out at that point. It's exhausting and it's nauseating.
Our great friend Greg Pruitt with us here, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580KIDO. So you've reached out to Senator Davis and you haven't heard back from Senator Davis. Now, what I don't understand, and I've heard this a long time from a lot of folks that try and do work on the Hill, that these elected officials don't return calls. Now, some of them do, and I'm sure you'll cite some people that you've worked with, but how many times have you reached out to Senator Davis?
Probably three times now. We've either tried to call and set up an appointment, and his schedule's been too busy, and yesterday I went there to try and talk to him too, and she kind of told me the same thing. So we have another bill that we're trying to push through, and we want to try and get his support on it. But again, you know, he was out of town, he's busy, and so you know, I sent an email with the other bill that we want to have come through on the House side, but eventually go through the Senate on their side. So we'll see if he responds. But yeah, they're generally not very responsive. And you know, we got a few good House members, Paul Shepard, Pete Nielsen, Gail Bad. They've always called me back and told me that they support the gun bill that we're trying to push forward and stuff like that. So, you know, there are a few good ones out there who do call you back and take time to reach out to their constituents.
580KIDO, yeah. Kevin Miller in the Morning, our friend Greg Pruitt with us. You know, I had a friend named Greg Privet, and I always have to struggle not calling you Greg Privet, by the way.
That's okay. Apparently, I struggle with names sometimes, too.
You know something? That's okay. You can call me that on any time. Anyway, let's get back to your faith in the process. You know, I love your story because it's real. And here you are dedicating your time. It started as a volunteer effort, still is a volunteer effort. When you could be doing other things, you and your group, grassroots to the core, have decided we need to protect our right to keep and bear arms. We need to keep our rights to protect ourselves. And our elected officials, which it's their job to hear you out, you know, have dropped the ball, or have they?
Yeah, the process, it's really hard to have faith in it, and I understand completely the people that are like, screw it, you know, this is, you know, worth the time and the effort, they don't care, because that's really how it all comes across. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, we're the big guy group everybody needs to listen to, but we have thousands of Idahoans that we represent, and you would just hope that there were people in there that would say, you know what, this is what Idaho want to do. Whether we agree with it or not, let's at least give it a chance to be heard before a full hearing so we can understand where everybody lies on this issue. And, you know, but they didn't want to do that, apparently. So I'm going back down today to try and get it back if I can and help push one of our other bills. And it's just something I firmly believe in. And, you know, they keep killing it every year. We're just going to keep coming back. That's the way the progress is good. They just keep bugging them until they finally get what they want. So I guess that's what we'll have.
Well, before you go, you've got a big march coming up. But in addition to that, how do you respond to folks like Sheriff Rainey that say it's going to prevent them from doing their job, giving you the right to carry your gun around?
He's fear-mongering. There's no really other way to put that. He wants the control, carries, doesn't carry. I'm pretty sure that wasn't the text mentioned anywhere that I remember. But my challenge to Sheriff Rainey and all the other individuals who says it's more dangerous for officers, it's more difficult for officers to do their job, is to go to the five states that already have constitutional carry, Vermont, Alaska, Wyoming, and Arkansas, go there and talk to their law enforcement officials, because I've called law enforcement in those states and asked them, does this affect their ability to fight crime? They almost have like a dumbfounded look on their face, even though I can't see them, of, what do you mean? We still do our job. It has, you know, it doesn't change anything. And that's what they tell me. So that's my challenge to them, you know, go ask those law enforcement officials. And you're not going to run into any problems. So that's my answer here.
Well, you're kind of fading out here, but, you know, you've been told, again, as I said, work within the process you have. You can recall back to the days of when you first had your march. People were concerned that you and a bunch of gun-toting AR, AK-47 types were going to take over the Capitol. You remember that fear-mongering that happened?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they shut doors down and not let people in and all that stuff. Yeah, it's, you know, not the good law-abiding citizens they need to worry about, but they tried to do what they could to make us look bad, make us look like we were, you know, sort of right-wing radical militia. We're not. We're just good law-abiding citizens that believe the right to keep bear arms is being infringed, and we want that right back.
Wow. Well, Idaho Second Amendment Alliance on Facebook. Your website, my friend?
www.idahosaa.org. And like you mentioned, Kevin, we got that rally coming up on February 21st. They can find information on Facebook and on the website about the rally. But we definitely need people to show up and show these guys serious about constitutional carry. And get those phone calls, emails, these legislators, just overwhelm them with support.
Well, good luck to you and Senator Davis, if you're listening. Greg's looking for you. You'd like to have a discussion. And Speaker Betke, you'd like to have a discussion with him as well. Any other shout-outs, Greg?
Those two. That's the leadership for the House and the Senate. So those are the ones, apparently, that if you don't do what they tell you to do, then they shut you down. So.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you, and keep up the great work.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
All right. Our great friend Greg Pruitt, Idaho Second Amendment Alliance, on Facebook, and that's how I found out about this. You know, last week, Greg went up there, and I admire Greg. And a lot of people, you know, they you know, want to give both sides of the issue, and that's great. I believe in people. And look, let me rephrase that. 3, 2, 1. We believe in people here. And why do we do that? Because there aren't a lot of forums like we have. We're very blessed to be with you. And the idea that you have a young man who sat out in the cold, what was it, 3 years ago, along with some of his other buddies, and all they wanted was to put constitutional carry, they wanted a hearing. And did they get any press coverage like the Add the Words folks did? No, not at all. I picked up on the story because I thought, man, 3,000 signatures, and they didn't get a hearing. from the folks in Boise, Democrats or Republicans, a bipartisan snub, and that this young man continues. He's got a family. He's got a master's degree. He's got a life. He's served our country. We thank him for his service. And he's down there with all the muckety-mucks, the paid lobbyists and everybody else with their bougie lunches and all. And I thought, gosh, wow. And I'm going to say this, and you're going to say, boy, Kevin's had something in his Wheaties today. Golly jeepers. Here you have Greg Pruitt getting that bill through the print hearing. Getting it through the print hearing, and all of a sudden it's going to get a legitimate hearing. And instead, what do we get? We get, well, it's been killed because he didn't work through the process. He didn't work through the process. Do we have the sound here? Why don't we do this? Let's get back to that hearing in a minute and take your phone calls at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. How conservative is the state? We have Republican leadership allegedly killing this bill before it got to a committee, and then it would go to debate whether or not it would go to the House floor. Why do people fear guns in Idaho? Can somebody answer that question? Quickly now to traffic.
Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
Mr. Chairman, just for a comment, it's not very often that I have a chance to have my constituents before me, and this happens to be one of my constituents who also is a veteran and have served us all in this past war, and I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you.
There we have it. Kevin Miller in the morning, Representative Gail Batt, thanking Greg Pruitt from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance. Now it looks like constitutional carry will not happen this legislative season. And begs the question, apparently it was killed by House leadership. Greg found out about it yesterday. He's trying to get answers today, and that's where we are at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And you can take a look at this, and perhaps, and look, I'm going to reveal something on the inside. And it's not the usual Kevin Miller embellishment, but here's the skinny on this. Do you know who controls the gun issue in the state of Idaho? Oh, I can hear Tea Party Bob crinkling up even as I say this, because I've known this about this for 3 or 4 years. It's no big secret in the Second Amendment community. It's no big secret in any community, really. We stumbled onto this when we were at Thomas Hammer 2 or 3 years ago. The people that control gun issues in the state, unfortunately, aren't the people of Idaho. It's the National Rifle Association. And I have a buddy of mine that maybe we should look him up that works for the NRA. Big time guy. But the NRA controls what issues are brought up before the state legislature. And the reason why I know this, and I probably should have had Greg Pruitt second this, but this is my opinion, and you're entitled to yours at 580-5436, 580-KIDO. But the Second Amendment is controlled by the NRA. They're the guys that come up with the big money. They're the guys that get their effort behind the bills. They work with our state legislators to determine what will and won't be put forth to be signed or to be vetoed by the governor. And if you know your legislator fairly well, on a personal note, so you don't have to say Senator such and such, they'll probably admit that to you. The NRA has their influence here in the state of Idaho. The NRA, in my opinion, great organization. NRA, in my opinion, they stand up for people with the guns. But here's the skinny. It's kind, you know, what's the life of a lobbyist? The life of a lobbyist is to say, well, I'm doing the work of the people. And the people are great. And then they're driving like a Lexus and a Mercedes or a Beamer. And if they can afford to do that, work for the people must be good. But do you really represent the people at, like we were talking with Mike Journey yesterday, the homeless? Do you really represent the folks that are working? Or do you represent the people that can afford to pay you? And to me, when the NRA, and this is my opinion, sticks their nose in our business, it's none of their darn business. And you have a lot of legislators that don't want to get on the wrong side of the NRA. Why? Because they foot the bills in this state. The NRA has an incredible sway over our legislators. Amazing, isn't it? Amazing. That's one reason why this bill went nowhere. The other one, many folks, Republicans, conservatives, aren't comfortable with this legislation. But to me, it's a victory of the people. It's a victory that this guy, Greg Pruitt, and his band of Second Amendment folks made a difference. Isn't that what it's about? Apparently not to some people.
You talk about carrying firearms without a permit. So that would mean that if you carried, if this passed and you could carry a concealed weapon, you do not have to have any type of training on the use of the firearm at all. Is that correct?
Mr. Pruitt, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Smith, thank you for the question. You will find that most gun owners in the state of Idaho are very responsible, especially those who carry. Technically, yes, they would not have to go through any sort of formal training. The real response to that is, who decides when a law-abiding citizen is trained enough to defend themselves? And I don't think any of us, whether that's the legislators, the sheriffs, other citizens, have the right to tell someone when they are qualified to defend their life.
Your point being, if someone sticks a knife in your face or wants to bludgeon you to death, are you not going to carry a gun to protect yourself because some mamby-pamby rooty-poo politician says you can't? Is this not America? Do we not have the Second Amendment? Kevin Miller, 580-KIDO.
And back, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. We go to Fox News Radio for our friend John Decker. Mr. Decker, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, Kevin. How are you?
Well, living the dream, and always a pleasure to have you on talking about politics and 2016, and it looks like the Republicans are ready to go with the new political director.
Yeah, so the RNC has tapped Chris Carr as their new political director. This is for the 2016 election cycle. He's returning to the RNC. He formerly served in the position of a regional political director for the western states, so he's perhaps familiar with Idaho. And he is someone who they believe will help them in a very important aspect of presidential elections, and that is the ground game, getting out the vote on Election Day. That's how Democrats won in both 2008 and 2012, and Republicans are trying to turn things around for the 2016 election cycle.
You know, John, you take a look at the ground game, and when we think about this, it wasn't only the ground game. They mastered the Rove playbook, but they also mastered the social media, social engagement game, which, you know, was kind of like air support to their superior ground game. Hopefully this new selection, Western influence and all, will be able to help.
No, that you're absolutely right. This was critical to President Obama in both of his winning presidential elections. Social media is one aspect of it, and also just all the technology that's involved in getting out the vote. That's where Democrats beat Republicans. It wasn't just, you know, obviously from the big picture, the Electoral College. If you dig down deep, it was social media. It was getting folks out there. It was analyzing data, and that's the job that Chris Carr will have for 2016. He's got a tough job ahead of him, but the Republicans believe they have, you know, some momentum after winning back the Senate in 2014, having a very successful election cycle in the midterms in 2014.
Well, John, it couldn't get much worse for them when we're talking technology. You know, I can't remember, it wasn't the War Room, it was something, one of these books written about it, where actually the Democrats had the best and brightest from Google and Facebook, and they kept attacking their app or whatever it was, whatever they called it, to make sure that it was ready to go on game day. The Republicans, the Romney campaign, had this thing called Merlin, and it crashed on Election Day, and there was no way to recover it. And it just shows you not only boots on the ground, but apps and social media are going to play a more crucial part of this election. You have to wonder if Mr. Carr is going to have an issue when we're talking about just the amount of candidates so far, never mind the general election.
Yeah, there are a number of Republicans who've indicated that they're going to run for the Republican nomination in 2016. You know the names. Chris Christie's one of them. Jeb Bush is another. Rand Paul's another. And I think that when all is said and done, you'll probably have about 8 to 10 well-known Republicans, a lot of sitting governors running for the Republican nomination. And Republicans believe they have a very strong field for 2016 to go up against who will likely be the Democratic nominee, Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, you talk about a contrast. You don't know if the field's going to be too big, too deep, and whether or not that will hurt or help Madam Clinton, because she might not have any competition which would, you know, help her get off the ring rust, if you will.
You know, that's a very good point. You know, it's often said that, you know, Hillary Clinton made Barack Obama a much stronger candidate in 2008, and I think there's something to that. I think that you need to go through the process of sort of trial by fire in the primaries in order to sort of get yourself ready for what will be a very tough race against your opponent in the general election. So I don't think that Mrs. Clinton is necessarily doing herself any favors, or the Democratic Party is doing itself any favors, by just having one candidate, you know, in there running for the Democratic nomination. That's Hillary Clinton. There's some other names that have been mentioned that may consider running for the Democratic nomination, but nowhere near having the star power of Hillary Clinton or the fundraising power of Hillary Clinton also.
John, we appreciate it. Hope to hear from you again.
Absolutely, Kevin. Have a great day, okay?
You too.
Thank you.
Our great friend John Decker, Fox News Radio, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. We want to thank Rick in Nampa for his patience. He wants to talk constitutional carry. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. And I want to really commend you for giving Greg Pruitt a hearing about our constitutional right to keep and bear arms. And I have a question for you that pertains to this, you know, because he's tried to get a hearing and not gotten a hearing. And so you may have the key to this, but I'd like to give you the opportunity to respond, because last year I brought up an issue to you that is, there's been a tremendous amount of research done by some very prominent conservatives that Barack Obama has no legitimate right to be in the office, and you didn't give me a hearing. So I'm wondering, why not?
Well, I think we've gone over that again and again and again. Do you have any new evidence to substantiate that?
Well, I wondered, and I wrote, I thought, well, maybe that was an accident, so I wrote to you, but you never answered me, and maybe I didn't hear the other programs. But Joe Arpaio, Alan Keyes, Larry Klayman are three of those who compiled that evidence. So I'm wondering, why did I not get a hearing?
Because I fought that battle since 07.
Okay.
You're welcome to...
I hadn't heard that.
Right, but I mean, look, I got fired in Pittsburgh because I challenged Senator Obama. You can Google Kevin Miller Obama, and you can read my story. I've gone up against that man. My life has been derailed because of that man, and we can go on and on and on about it. But unless somebody has a smoking gun, I respect Sheriff Joe. I respect Larry Klayman. Alan Keyes, I've known for years. But until somebody has something that's going to get recognized by people, it's just you, me, and Alan Keyes, Rick, yapping about it, with all due respect.
Well, I think yapping is a derogatory term, and I didn't know this background, but you didn't give me the opportunity to find that out before.
Well, you know something? I'll admit that I was wrong.
Thank you very much. That raises my estimation of you tremendously. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate you listening, sir.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And look, hold me accountable. That's what it's about. Coming up next, Doug Pakash will join us from Channel 7, talking about the Treasure Valley's Got Talent. First, time for traffic.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning. Phone numbers 580-5436. 580-KIDO. Big news. America's Got Talents in town. By the way, in addition to that, go to our website, 580-KIDO, if you would like Brian Williams to be shown the door, given a pass. given the boot, commended. That's at 580kido.com, and we will have that for you coming up. Do appreciate Greg Pruitt joining us early this morning to get his thoughts on, well, the issue involving the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance and their constitutional carry bill that apparently went down. We're joined by Tea Party Bob from the Gem State Patriot at 580KIDO.
You know, Kevin, you made some very interesting points this morning, which I've been harping on for the past 2 years. The citizens of Idaho are not properly represented in our legislature by the members of leadership. Greg Pruitt has worked for 3 years to get this constitutional bill in front of our legislature, only to have them tell him it's dead on arrival. You know why? Because the more powerful NRA lobbyists have their own bill, and they want to propose it to the legislature. The leadership in our legislature is guided by the lobbyists of the state, because they are the groups who finance their campaigns. You know, those times every 2 years when the politicians come around, send out mailers telling their constituents how wonderful they are and that they should elect them for another term. Those same people who, when you want to get an appointment to see them and discuss a serious problem, are always too busy. Those same people who talk but don't walk. You know, if Iyaki wanted to get a constitutional carry bill passed, you can be sure it'd be the first item on the legislator's agenda of things to do. And there are no problems with leadership being busy, too busy for a lobbyist. Constitutional carry is not the only bill that's going to be killed by leadership this session. You can be sure that there's a bill out there to stop the SBAC test for Common Core, to eliminate the grocery tax, and these bills are going to be killed by the leadership. But you can also be sure that a new tax bill on gas and an internet tax on the Netflix and Amazon are going to come across their desk, and they're going to pass with flying colors because they've got the lobbyists behind them. You know, when the legislative leaders of Idaho are beginning to understand,
right,
is that we need some new blood in our government to lead and get the conservative values back that we've always treasured.
Well, if we have them. Tea Party Bob, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
All right. He's fired up. To our friend Doug Petcash, hanging out with America's Got Talent from Channel 7 KTVB. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you today?
I'm great. We're watching your live shots. You're hanging out with the guitar players, the Twizzlers. What's going on?
Man, we've had a really good show this morning with talent that Boise and all of Idaho has to offer so far. I mean, we've had the guy who spins poi, which is like lighted balls on the end of strings. We've had a magician. We've got guitar players. We have a lot of singers here, and the line is really long right now. I mean, thousands of performers and a couple of their supporters are here with them, of course, because this is not open to the general public today. Only the auditioners and a couple supporters, family and friends, can go in. A lot of excitement. They're going to be waiting quite a bit today because the doors don't actually open for the auditions until noon.
Doug, we've got a couple minutes here. What about you? Are you auditioning today?
Well, technically I can't audition because of the NBC thing. I can't, you know, go into a contest on one of the shows that we actually have on our air, but because this is closed to the public, I am going to go through the audition process today a little bit later on, play guitar and sing a little bit, see if the producers have any feedback, but more just to show our viewers and your listeners, you know, what goes on here behind the closed doors at Taco Bell Arena, just to give them a feel for everything that happens.
Well, I can't wait to watch that report on Channel 7. I'm sure it's going to be nerve-wracking, and, you know, this is a big deal for our area, for Channel 7, to have these folks come in.
It is, and obviously the viewers are responding to how the bigness of that. Is that a word, Kevin? I'm not sure, but there are a lot of people here who are getting ready, and, you know, they're going to stand in the chilly weather, a little damp out. It's not raining right now, but for their, you know, shot at stardom, I suppose, and, you know, see if they can catch the producer's eye and get on to that next phase. This is for the producers that they'll be auditioning for, and then if they get through here, then they might get to go in front of the celebrity judges.
Well, Doug Petcash, we appreciate it. We're looking forward to your report on Channel 7, and good luck with your audition today.
Yeah, hey, thanks. One thing, Kevin, that report is actually going to be on tomorrow morning because we're shooting it later this afternoon. We'll be here all day doing reports from the Taco Bell Arena and talking to people, myself and Brian Holmes, a little bit later today. So it's going to be fun.
Well, we'll be checking out. Doug, thank you, and keep up the great work.
Hey, you too, sir.
All right. Our great friend Doug Petcash joining us from Channel 7. Is bigness a word? It is on this program. 44 right now in Napa, 580 KIDO. This is a grammar-free zone. Is there the grammar-free zone? Can we have that here? All right, let's get you to traffic now. And coming up next, we've heard their ads. We've seen their ads. We've seen their billboards. Very shocking. In fact, you've had me yap about those for quite so many years. There we go, the grammar-free zone. The Idaho Meth Project joins us next to talk about meth and how dangerous it is, not only for our kids, but for adults as well here in Idaho. Keep it here. Be warned. 580 KIDO. KIDO Napa, Idaho.